I got to tell you, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate our guest being able to join us this morning. He's Congressman from Texas, from the 8th District. His name is Kevin Brady. He's a good friend, and let me tell you why. First off, morning, Congressman Brady. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Yesterday afternoon, Congressman Shimkus, who we've been telling you was going to join me in this slot, has something come up of significance and was unable to join us. Now, John knows I don't like last-minute cancellations, so he threw his roommate under the bus. Kevin Brady is his roommate in D.C. And so I want to tell you, Kevin, I do appreciate it, sir.
No, Tom, it's my honor to be here, too. I'm John Shimkus' biggest fan. He and I came in together to Congress as freshmen many years ago. We've been roommates for many years as well, and there's no one I respect more than he. And really sorry to see him wrap up his career in Congress, but boy, he's made a huge difference, and he loves Southern Illinois. Let me just tell you.
You know what's interesting? One of the reasons why when John and I were chatting, he says, Kevin Brady, and I'm like, I think I know that name. And the reason why, you were chair for House Ways and Means. Now you're the ranking House of Ways and Means for the Republicans. And I think a lot of people may not understand the role you have played in a nationwide scenario when it came to negotiations for this latest round of stimulus that we're learning about now.
Yeah, so I was really fortunate. Ways and Means Committee, we get to do a lot of the tax. Well, all the tax, trade, Social Security, Medicare, those types of issues. And we led the tax reform here for the country a couple of years ago. But in these three bills that Congress has reacted pretty quickly on, by the way, this last one especially was all about how do we keep workers on the job, how do we help those who've lost it, and how do we preserve Main Street businesses so that they can ride this out and help rebound and get those workers back. And so a lot of work's been done on how do we, through tax relief, you know, push cash flow to our Main Street businesses in Carterville. You know, how do we help those who are unemployed but keep them attached to that business? A lot of those issues is what I worked on.
You know, and I think it's interesting, if I remember correctly, Congressman, today is the first day you can actually apply for the small business loans. It starts today.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tom. So today, small businesses and sole proprietorships can begin applying for what they call paycheck protection loans. And basically what we're offering is very low interest loans for up to 2 years for payroll, rent, utilities, and mortgage. But the good part, and I think the important thing is for businesses in Illinois is they're forgivable loans. So the amount of money that you spend on your payroll in rent and utilities at the end of June, if you keep your workers on that payroll to the end of June, it's forgiven by the federal government. And obviously the goal here is to help our small businesses, in any business below 500 workers, help them survive, help them keep their workers working. We're going to rebound out of this thing. The jobs numbers are horrible right now. They're going to get a little more brutal, to be honest. But these are temporary. And so we want to be, you know, as we lock down this virus, we're going to unlock this economy and rebound. We want our businesses to be able to survive.
I was in my homework. My understanding is this Paycheck Protection Program was one of your babies. This was one of your sweethearts. You wanted to ensure this survived. This was high priority for you. And my understanding is you went to battle on this.
I was one of many that did on this and the worker retention credit, which allows businesses that have been either forced to close down or partially shut down because of government order, and they've seen their revenue cut by half. You can actually get help. We'll help you pay to keep your worker on the payroll. Those were big issues for me because I'm come from a small business background. I was a local chamber of commerce manager for almost 20 years, so worked with a lot of Main Street businesses, helping them start up, survive, grow, all that. And so I had a particular interest in that area. But a lot of us contributed to this bill. And I think the positive news here is in each of these three major responses to the virus, Republicans, Democrats, they did set aside their differences. We had a few, but for the most part, went to work, got it done, but now we got to execute it. And that's where all of us back in our home districts are working with our local businesses.
You know, that 701,000 job number today, I'll be honest with you, Congressman Brady, I expected it to be higher than 701,000. I did.
Yeah, you know, and I think the next one will be. I think we caught the first edge sort of what the virus has done to the economy with this report. I think it'll get a little more brutal before it gets better. But I also think the fundamentals are still good for this country. We came into this virus with the strongest economy on the planet. So if anyone can survive this hit, it's us. And look, we still have a lot of the good things in place. We're just short. Our businesses just have no cash coming in, big or small. And so that crisis is what we're trying to address with those paycheck protection loans. There's lending for the airlines and the big the hotel chains and restaurant chains, all those who got hurt when the customers disappeared, all of it pushed out to get them cash. And we also, and most people don't know this too, but we just deferred the payroll taxes for businesses. So for the rest of the year, rather than collect them and send them to Washington, keep them. You know, keep them in your bank account so you can work your way through this. And then for businesses that are taking big losses, you can actually refile and carry the losses you've got right now backwards and get more cash. Our whole goal here is let's inject, it's literally trillions of dollars into local businesses' pockets so they can hang on.
All right, here's another item. On Tuesday, I did a call-in with Congressman Mike Boss solely on questions of people about checks, right? And I got to tell you, one of the most frequently asked questions was, if I have Social Security, do I have to file something else? Now, I think the answer's changed. I think you had to fill out, I think it was a 1099, but now you don't have to, my understanding. If you're a Social Security recipient, you're on the rolls.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, because we're trying to provide some economic support for families to help them write it out. And so these $1,200 checks go to anyone who has a valid Social Security number, you know, and doesn't make a ton of money. And originally we knew it would go to most Social Security recipients because they do file taxes, but you're right, some don't at all. And there was some thinking for a few days that people would have to file. Thankfully, Treasury, and I give Secretary Mnuchin credit here, he got the problem right off the bat. They reversed it. And so you don't have to lift a finger. If you're on Social Security or disability, a valid Social Security number, you're going to receive those dollars. We hope most people file direct deposit, so they'll get it pretty directly here in the next 2 weeks. Others will get it by check.
It's interesting that Steve Mnuchin yesterday in the White House briefing said could be as long for some as 5 months. That startled me.
Yeah, you know, the lessons learned from, remember when we did this about a decade ago?
I do. $700 check, I think it was. We got $700, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And at the time, not as many people filed through direct deposit their taxes. So most of them were checks. And you know, our government's big, and they do a lot of things, but it is hard to move that very quickly when you're going through the checks. And it's going to be a little quicker this time, but there's still going to be delays, no question.
Well, I think part of that, and who wouldn't think that there has to be some type of, you know, monitoring this? You got to be careful how you go about this. You can't just go push one button and think that there's an Apple app that sends checks to everybody in America. I mean, technology has spoiled the heck out of us, and now we think, oh, go do that. You want me to what? I mean, you know, you kind of get that. Here's another thing, and you talked about small business. This was something else that my understanding on research is that you worked very hard on with others, as you've been kind enough to give credit out, is on this small business issue. But here's the thing, Congressman Brady. What I've learned recently is the blizzard of information that's coming at the business people. Illinois, small business this. We've got this type of program, but it's limited. It has to be done by April 1st at 5 p.m. for the hospitality help. You've got this blizzard of information. And I wonder, when a small business person is already dog paddling from one disaster to the next, that compounding this by this intellectually challenging pursuit that will help them survive, and it being such an intellectual challenge when there's so many things in the air.
There is. You're right, and it's a bit double-edged. The good news is, everyone, your local chamber of commerce, your communities, your state, everyone's trying to push this information out as soon as they get it. That's the good news. Bad news is you don't always know where to start. And even with all that, you're right. Most small business people have their head down on their business. They're day-to-day, hour-to-hour working. And so there are still, I'm finding, in my 9 counties of both suburban and rural Texas, that even today some small businesses are not aware there's a loan program out there that's forgivable and can help them and starts now. And so it's a combination of, in some ways, it's a blizzard. In other ways, I'm not sure we've gotten everyone aware yet that there's help for them.
You know, Nancy Pelosi says we need to have oversight.
We do. We do. And the good news is we've got every committee, including Ways and Means, has a pretty aggressive oversight committee on all of our areas. We're going to be conducting a lot on this. I think one of the worries is that this, you know, we've seen so much of this Russia collusion, Mueller report, impeachment, all this stuff. I think there's a suspicion that this is just more of how do you attack the Trump administration. Right now, I just think we ought to be all eyes focused on how we lock down this virus, how we help businesses ride this out, and when we're able to reopen, which I'm hopeful is at the end of this month, the very early May, as we start to reopen this economy. I think we've got a chance, Tom, for a very strong economic rebound in the summer and the fall, and so that's what I want to be prepared for.
You've been in Congress since 1997, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, and you've been around the block. I looked up your birth date. Right? So I was thinking about this, right? Once upon a time in Russia, this guy named Gorbachev, and he went on vacation with his beautiful wife, Reza, and we'll go to Ukraine and have vacation. And while he was gone, Boris Yeltsin's on the steps of the Kremlin, and there's a tank. And the Soviet Union is no more, and Gorbachev comes back from vacation and does not realize things have changed in a profound way. I think there was a lesson to learn there. There are some people who do not know when the winds have shifted. Things have changed in a profound manner, so they continue to exhibit the behavior they did before that event. Does that story carry some significance in what you saw during the negotiations and what you continue to see in D.C., the lack of acknowledgement that things have changed in a profound way and people are going to be really intolerant of things? What brought me the story, Congressman Brady, was you just talking about how everybody's got together and realized we've got to get together on this thing. Well, some people haven't.
No, they haven't, and I think the whole country got to see this. So we had basically negotiated this. It was fast-moving, certainly not perfect, but it was ready to go on Sunday morning. And Speaker Pelosi sort of rode into town, blew everything apart, delayed it for 3 days or more, demanded. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what early voting, windmills, tax breaks for millionaires and the Green New Deal have to do with the coronavirus. But it doesn't, and doesn't belong in this conversation. And we delayed, unfortunately, help was delayed for 3 days or more because of that. Now she's talking about a fourth package, and it's full of all that weird agenda that's got nothing to do with keeping people healthy and getting their business back on their feet. And that's where I think your point is, she needs to pay attention to the world has changed in America. People aren't putting up with that stuff because for the first time in a long time, you know, people's jobs, their business, their retirement, everything's at risk. And they expect their leaders to understand that and act like adults.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm glad. So you got my story then, even though it was rather.
I was talking about it.
I was kind of convoluted.
There's just a disconnect there.
It is.
And I don't understand it.
You know, but I also know that I'm guilty of it sometimes. I put myself in a box because I'm so regimented, and then I realize, boy, there's stuff going on, so you better peek your head out. Things have changed. You've got to find a way to, because I do think a great many people are inside their respective bubbles, and they just peek out through little keyholes through their own perspective and don't understand that if we got to get all together in one line and pull together in one direction, if just for a few months, if we could, please, you know? And I think that might be one of the most important things to learn, whether it's through the isolation factor, whether it's businesses grouping together to learn and share the information for these SBA loans, whether it's people who are in the Social Security Administration properly messaging to people with Social Security and disability that they do not have additional work, that there's help coming, and please don't be afraid. We've got help coming to you quickly. You got direct deposit. We're going to help you buy food. I mean, we've got a lot of targets right now. Most of them are very important. We can't let barking dogs distract us from our goals.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better, Tom. And a good example is here. Look, you know, there's the last couple of days, you know, the Trump administration has received some criticism on the small business loan program. Well, the thing is, the SBA is notoriously slow. They're a good organization, but these loans tend to take forever and very bureaucratic, and a lot of people don't use them. Well, all that's gone out the window. This administration is, we're going to go through local bankers. We're getting this money out. They're going to make the approval, not us. They're going to send this money out quickly. Let's change things. And so, you know, they have sent out some early draft rules of this that weren't perfect. And they quickly said, look, we got that part wrong. We're going to change it. I like that attitude of forget the past. We got to act differently now. If you see something that doesn't make sense, we'll change it. But we're going to move. I like that type of activity.
So do I.
In an environment we've got right now.
I think it's a sign of intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
The ability
in the real world.
Yeah,
you know,
right. You say, okay, I made a mistake. I'm smart enough to acknowledge it and change it for the welfare of all, rather than just be stubborn about it and drive it on home until everybody, you know, it's worn out. So I'm wondering right now, I was thinking about you with this SBA loans and all these items we talked about as being a blizzard. I'm wondering if CPAs are about to become essential businesses.
Well, I tell you what, I think they are. There is so much coming at them right now. And I think, you know, financial people who will help you with your financial stuff are crucial. I think, you know, local chambers of commerce, which I admit I spent my whole adult life before Congress working in the chamber world with Main Street businesses. You know, in our area, they have become essential, too, because they've been such a conduit for information for the businesses. Right now, I'm getting on a call with our local bankers who, you know, have always been so involved in our communities. They're going to be key to, you know, distributing this money, getting into these small businesses' hands. We're going to ask a lot of them here over these next few weeks as well. We're going to stretch them to capacity to help Main Street businesses in Carterville and everywhere else, Carbondale and the region. And so, yeah, we're going to ask them to step up and help us.
You know, it's interesting. I talked to the vice president of the Small Business Corporation last week for Midwest St. Louis region, Steve Lindsay. And I think by the time he was done talking, saying, look, if you take your receipts from your payroll, you take your receipts from your utilities, and you show us where that loan money went, it's forgiven. I think people inherently saw that. I think they were suspicious, to be honest with you, Congressman.
I think so, too. But this one's going to be simplified. It's really, and businesses can, one, you got to start with your local lender. But you want to go on the SBA. There's a two-page deal loan application or that tells you what you need. It is. It's months of a little longer of payroll, months of rent, utility, and mortgage. That's what this loan's going to be based off of. You'll be held accountable if you try to defraud. There's no question about it. But you bring the bank, you know, that type of information, they're going to have enough to make that that loan available.
You know, Congressman Kevin Brady has joined us today, 8th District in Texas. He's pinch hitting today for Congressman John Shimkus. You have no way of knowing this, Congressman, but my half of my paternal side of my family eloped from Illinois decades ago and came to Texas. And for the last 35 years, all they've told me is, come to Texas. It's the land of milk and honey.
It is. Let me just tell you, I'm not a native Texan. I started in South Dakota, the Black Hills of South Dakota. My parents eloped to Texas, to San Antonio, in between the war, got married, and came back and raised us. But now four of the five kids in our family are here in Texas. It's just a great can-do state. But I'll tell you what, if everyone in Illinois is like John Shimkus, I'm now the state's biggest fan, because he's a West Pointer, former teacher, stayed in the reserves, has just served his country in Congress like nothing else. So yeah, I tell you what, you always want a U.S. representative that you're proud of, and I can just tell you, in your communities, you've got something to be proud of.